It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
And Rich.
Sounds like the biggest nightmare. And why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two of the program, Toucher and Rich for a Friday. John Wallach, Ted Johnson, Joe Murray here until 10 o'clock. Still to come in later on this hour, Joe McDonald of the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. And later on in the program, Bill Koch of the Providence Journal and Brian Robb of Mass Live. But since we do have Ted Johnson here, before we talk Bruins and Red Sox and Patriots, Bruins and Celtics and all the other stuff, we really should talk Patriots with Ted. And Ted Johnson, in case you did not know, and 2 summers ago, I did a show with Ted, and Ted said, I don't know, John, I don't like this Patriots team. I think they're going to finish 7-9. And you know what happened? They finished 7-9, and Ted was the only voice in the wilderness saying that they were going to finish under 500. Finish under 500? Belichick teams don't do that. And Ted Johnson hit it right on the nose. And we worked another show during training camp last year. And he said, I really like this team, John. I like it a lot. You know, even though they're going to have a rookie quarterback in Mac Jones, I like this team. I think they're going to win 12 games. You remember saying this?
I do remember saying that.
And I said, Ted, you're out for a second straight year. I didn't learn my lesson. Previous year, I said, you're out of your mind. And I said, you're crazy. This team isn't going to win 12 games. They're not going to go 12-5. Middle of the season, people were talking about the Patriots playing in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay. They wound up going 10-7. So your track record is pretty good. And so here we are again. Training camp is what, a couple of weeks from now?
Yep, well, the 18th. Rookies report the 18th.
So we're 2 weeks from Sunday is when the veterans report. And here we are on the edge of another Patriots season. Patriots still don't have anybody on offense that defenses have to scheme the double team. They do have a good offensive line. That's pretty much intact. And it looks like Cole Strange, their number one draft pick, is going to slide in very nicely at left guard. Not sure about the linebacking core at all on defense. That is a position you are extremely familiar with. Not sure who your top cornerback is going to be. I think bringing back Malcolm Butler is nice on the surface of things, but he is, by all accounts, 2 or 3 years past his best play. So I ask you, Ted Johnson, on the eve of training camp, how do you see this team?
I'm worried about this team. I think this team has a huge, huge kind of has the ability to be a very average team when it comes to the record. Here's what
I'm 8-9, 9-8,
pretty much. Okay. I would say I would be surprised if they won more than 9 games. I think the offense is going to be outshine the defense. A lot of people think the offense, there's a lot of offensive concern. I don't have as much concern with the offense as I do the defense. It is very difficult, you guys, to come to make an argument where you think the Patriots are in the, you know, one of the 7 best teams in the AFC. I see them at best maybe the 8th or 9th best team in the AFC. And so that's just outside of the playoffs. I don't see this team right now making the playoffs. And it's really because, more important, I think this is a better offensive team than it's going to be defensive team. However, and Mac Jones is going to make a huge leap, and he's going to be better. That doesn't mean it's going to equate to more wins.
Okay, let's stop here. Everything I've heard from all the players, like Jonnu Smith and a lot of offensive players are going on these national shows and saying, you know, Mac's my dog. Mac is taking such a huge leap in a leadership role. Last year at this time, he was just finding his way. But now, you know, all of us really like hanging out with him. He's great to hang out with. You see him, you know, with passing camps with wide receivers, and everyone's on Instagram with their arms around each other saying, look at, you know, they're all staring at the camera like, what's up? It's my guy right here, Mac Jones, leading us. And I've always thought that Mac Jones would assimilate himself, and that was a scouting report on him coming out of Alabama. He would assimilate himself into the NFL way of doing things faster than anybody else in his rookie class. His ceiling is probably not the lowest, but one of the lowest of all of the quarterbacks taken in the first round. He's going to accelerate quickly, but hit his ceiling and not go any further. For the Patriots to be a great team, to get back to being a perennial contender, to get back to being a top four team in their conference, I think they need Mac Jones to be better than ultimately he can be. And I don't see, I mean, he is, by definition, most NFL quarterbacks, their biggest leap is between year one and year two. Year one, and you know this as a rookie, you don't know what you don't know. And now you've found that out. You found out exactly what you need to learn, and that's great. So I expect him to take a leap, but I don't think it's going to be nearly good enough.
Yeah, look, I think I'll push back on that a little bit, John, and say, you know, from an athletic standpoint, his ceiling is low. Clearly, we know that. But what is really going to get him to have a long career is the same kind of stuff that made Tom. It's his brain. His biggest strength is his brain, the way he can read defenses, the decision-making, John. And that's really where he's going to excel. The arm strength, I think, is not as much of a concern as it is for a lot of people. I think he'll get hit better. You see him getting put on weight. He's getting stronger. I'm not worried about arm strength and getting the ball downfield. Really, I think sky's the limit for him in a lot of respects. It's really about the supporting cast and the coaching that I'm more concerned. I am not worried about Mac Jones. I think he's mentally, he's right where he's bought into the Patriots system. He loves being a Patriot. He loves being coached by Bill Belichick. He says all the right things. He sacrifices. He won his team over right away. And that was the thing I said last year. If Mac Jones is going to play, the first thing you do, and I tell my son this all the time, well, you got to win your teammates over. That's how you win your coaches over, is you got to win your teammate. And he's done that. He's bought in. Everybody believes in Mac Jones. What I'm worried about is there's talk about maybe changing the offense a little bit more like a Shanahan offense. That takes power away from the quarterback. Mm. Shanahan offenses, they don't want more power given to the quarterback. They take less responsibility away from him, and they don't give him a lot of checks and audibles, and it's almost quarterback kind of proof. If that's kind of the way they're going to, and why would they do that? Well, because it's an easier system to teach everybody. It helps coaches, the new coaches they have on offense. It's an easier system to teach. And so I'm worried about them taking away what I think is his biggest strength, which is his brain. The problem is, as smart as he is, everybody's got to be on the same page. Coaches and players. And that's going to be
with
hard.
The offense as well.
With the offense as well.
The check with me stuff
it's,
and the
it's
wide
a lot
receivers.
Harder, so.
Now, you talked about the supporting cast. Is there anybody on this offense that an opposing defense has to scheme for? Last year, we saw this. Any defensive coordinator on any opponent the Patriots would play, there was not one conversation all year long said, oh my God, we have to stop this guy. And Brandon Merriweather was here, and I asked him the same question. As a defensive back, is there anybody you see on this Patriots offense that you would be scared of? And he said no, and I agree with him.
It's true.
I mean, DeVante Parker's nice, but he's not a number one.
It's true, and I get that. There isn't. But that worries people, and I get it to some degree. But you're also talking to a guy that comes from a background where I'm used to kind of the talent was distributed equally amongst the whole team. It's not like it was top heavy. Like it was like all the best, you know, a few great players, and then just mediocre middle class, and then a bunch of, you know, rank and file. It's kind of like, you know, you look at the wide receivers. For the Patriots, like, you know, DeVante Parker, Kendrick Bourne, Jacoby Myers, Nelson Aguilar, they're all kind of They're all pretty good. Not great.
Yeah, they're all sixes or sevens.
But I get it.
Not tens.
I understand. So to answer your question, no, there isn't one guy that you have to game plan for on this offense. However, it's the idea of that there's multiple guys at any time when you game plan it right and you identify where the weaknesses are from week to week that can have standout games. One week it's going to be Jonnu Smith. It's the same thing that you've been hearing for years about this system. And it can work that way.
Well,
you can make it work that way.
I would argue that your comparison to when you played, the big difference is, and I understand where you're coming from, but the difference is you had the quarterback. You had Drew Bledsoe, and then you had Tom Brady, who were significantly above average. I mean, far better. I think we can. I'm not comparing. I think we can safely say Mac Jones is in either of those two guys.
But is Mac Jones as good in his second year as Tom Brady was in his second year? Like, can you? Yeah. Of course, the finished product. Tom Brady's not Tom Brady the way Tom Brady is now. But you know, is Mac Jones on the same trajectory and line and as far as playing kind of. Getting better and better on the same trajectory as Tom was in his second year? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not too dissimilar. It's not.
I think that's a stretch. Brady won a Super Bowl in his second year, right?
He did.
He took over the team
and won a Super Bowl. But we had an excellent defense.
No, I know you did. But
we had a well-balanced offense. We had a great signal caller in Charlie Weiss, too, mm-hmm. on offense. It was a so.
And you know what? You don't have a great signal caller here this year.
We don't.
You don't have a great roster.
That's not an indictment on Mac Jones. That's an indictment on Bill Belichick and the people that he's put around.
Well, I don't think Mac. I'm sorry, Joe. No. Just one quick thing. I don't think Mac Jones is ready to be on that same trajectory yet. I don't think physically he's good enough to be on that same trajectory. And the people around him aren't nearly as good enough to put him on that trajectory. That's the thing. With Mac Jones, you have to have a significantly better supporting cast around him to succeed.
Yeah, and I know we got Joey Mack coming up in a minute here, but I do want to let you to think about this question. And Tom Curran mentioned it. Will Mac Jones' success be based upon the defense this year?
All right. And we didn't even get to the defense. So we'll get back into the Patriots with Ted Johnson. But before we do that, Joe McDonald, Worcester Telegram and Gazette. He's broken multiple Bruins stories this summer and also had a front row seat in Worcester for Chris Sale's meltdown and Brian Bayo's ascension to the big league club. We'll talk to him next Friday edition of Toucher and Rich.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win. With FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
An invitation to this show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
We go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Friday edition of Toucher and Rich. John Wallach and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson here. Joe Murray is here as well. 617-779-0985 is the number to call. I wanted to take some time to talk some Bruins here and maybe a little Worcester Red Sox. Joe McDonald covers the Worcester Red Sox and the Bruins, I guess, for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. And Joe has been a lot of places. Joe is getting a lot of notoriety now, and I'm very happy about this. Joe covered the Bruins. And Joe, correct me if I'm wrong. You were with ESPN for a while, Providence Journal for a while. I used to see Joe at TD Garden a lot, and now he's in Worcester. And Joe is making, can we call it a comeback? I mean, LL Cool J said, don't call it a comeback. You've been here for years. But, I mean, it's good to see you again. Good to see you getting some time out there.
Yeah, thanks. It's, you know, it's been a good couple weeks. And, you know, just covering mostly a lot of Woo Sox for the TNG and a little bit of Bruins. And, you know, it's been good out in Worcester. A lot of baseball. But, you know, I've always been a hockey guy. And, you know, it's just been good to break some news in the last couple of weeks.
Well, let's get to it because I see you on NBC Sports Boston. I see you everywhere now. I'm just happy you took my phone call, for God's sake. I mean, you're a real popular guy now, Joe. I was hoping you wouldn't forget where you came from.
No, never. Come on, not at all.
So you were the guy who broke the Patrice Bergeron news that had everyone saying, oh, thank God he's coming back. Now, my thought was, why in the world would you come back to a team that is going to finish middle of the pack? But that's not here nor there. Patrice Bergeron has not yet officially signed his deal. He's not yet officially back, according to Don Sweeney. And you had the report he was coming back 2-3 weeks ago. Have you heard anything different in the interim?
No, the only thing that I've heard, John, is basically that the Bruins have talked to him a few times, and they're just basically trying to figure out what's the best way to progress here. And from what I have heard is it's probably, if and when it happens, it's probably going to be a one-year deal, incentive-laden deal, probably in the range of about $7 million. And look, it's good to have Bergeron back, and a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, he waited to find out what the coaching deal, you know, was going to be. And it had nothing to do with Bruce Cassidy. It had everything to do with how he felt physically. Look, there's a lot of hard minutes on that body, right? I mean, he plays all out all the time. He's done it for a while. And he had that elbow surgery. And once he had it right away, that was kind of an indication with, okay, well, you know, maybe he is going to think about coming back. You know, went on vacation, spent some time with his family, tried to figure out what the next step was, talked to a lot of people close to him who have been in the game and, you know, currently in the game and some guys who are no longer in the game. And he decided that, okay, no, I'm not ready to retire. I'm ready to come back. And good for the Bruins.
Well, the number you just gave me kind of opened my eyes here. 1 year and $7 million. I'm looking at the Bruins cap sheet here. They have about $2.5 million under the salary cap. And as we discussed at length yesterday, the cap is not crap in the National Hockey League. You can't go over that unless you have a guy on long-term injured reserve like Kucherov with Tampa Bay last season. Bruins don't really have a guy like that. I mean, McAvoy's going to be out. Marchand's going to be out, but not for too long. You can't hide that money. It begs the question, if you're going to spend $7 million, and that's what you're telling me, a year incentive-laden $7 million contract, how in the world do you create enough cap space to fit him in?
Well, Don Sweeney's going to have to get creative, right? And we've seen that in the past. And look, maybe that's the reason why that this hasn't become official, is that they're trying to, let's get through the draft. Let's, before free agency starts, you know, let's try to figure out what we need to do. The buyout period has started. You know, maybe that's on the docket for Don Sweeney. You're right. I mean, they're cap, and they've got some cap issues right now, and he needs to figure that out. How are they going to do that? You know, I wish I could figure out what Don Sweeney was thinking, but right now they're just focused on the draft, and I'm sure once that is settled, then they're going to, you know, figure out what's best for Bergeron. People have asked me this, the same thing. And they've asked, you know, would he take a hometown discount similar to what Zdeno Chara did? You know, Zdeno Chara, I think, if I remember correctly, the base was $5 million and incentives as well. I don't know if Bergeron would do that. I'm not saying that that, you know, he's all about the Bruins and anything they can do to kind of get him in the mix and keep the team competitive, obviously. He's not going to come back to a team that's in the rebuild. He wants to come back to a team that's going to contend for a Stanley Cup. So you're right. It's going to be interesting to see what Don Sweeney does with his cap.
Joe, you know, I'm just curious, you know, because the two big names, of course, besides Bergeron, is David Krejci's in the news about maybe possibly coming back. I mean, is it?
That's another guy who they can't fit under the cap.
They can't, right? But Joe, do you think, like, you know, David is kind of thinking the same way that, you know, Patrice is, as far as I want to see where things go with this team before I decide whether or not I want to come back? I mean, it's fascinating. I got to be honest, being a football guy, to hear, you know, these hockey guys talking about, hey, we're waiting for these guys to decide this and do that. It's like, it's unbelievable that some of the power that these older guys have. But nonetheless, David Krejci, where do you think his mindset is? And is he waiting to see kind of where the Bruins go before he ultimately decides what he wants to do?
Yeah, you know, Ted, you know, David's always been an interesting guy. And years ago, he said that when he decided to leave Boston, that he wanted to return home and play, you know, in front of friends and family in the Czech. And he did that. But I do find it interesting that, out in the World Championships, you know, he was back playing with Pastor, and we all probably saw that video with Pastor and David walking through, you know, the streets, and they took a video, yeah. And Pastor asked him, hey, are you coming back? You know, I'm sure a lot of his former Bruins teammates, you know, reached out to him to try to talk him into it. Don Sweeney has talked to him. I'm sure Cam Neely has as well. And the thing with David is that I think if you had said to him, you know, Jim Montgomery, the new coach, maybe said to him, okay, I'll tell you what, if you come back and we promise that you're going to play with 88 on your line, what do you think about that? So if I were a betting man, Ted, I would say that there's a very good chance that David Krejci returns to Boston and plays for the Bruins. And some of it's probably, all right, let's figure out what we're going to do with Patrice first. Let's figure out this cap space. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, they've got to sign David Pastrnak. You know, I mean, my understanding is that they want to get him signed to a long-term deal before the start of the season. And if they can't, then, you know, maybe they look to move him at some point during the season to get something in return. But I think a lot of it has to depend on David Krejci, you know. So I think there's a lot of moving parts here, Ted. And, you know, Krejci is right in the middle of it. If you bring him back, maybe you get Pasta happy on a long-term deal. If you get Bergeron done, maybe you get Krejci happy, and then you get him back. So there's a lot of balls in the air for Don Sweeney. It's just a matter of how he decides to juggle.
We're talking with Joe McDonald of the Worcester Telegram and Gazette, covers the Boston Bruins and the Worcester Red Sox for the paper. And I keep coming back to, you know, all of these things that the Bruins have to do before the beginning of the season. And you were talking about Bergeron, and you were talking about Krejci. The Pastrnak stuff is fascinating to me, because you're looking at guys like Kevin Fiala, who is not really a comp for Pastrnak. He's not nearly as good, but he's making $7-8 million a season. You're looking at top goal scorers in the National Hockey League that are making $10-12 million a year. Pastrnak is going to sign a long-term deal somewhere. The question is, can the Bruins go 7-8 years at $9.5 million per? Are they willing to go that far for him?
I don't think it's going to be in the $9 million range, John. If anything, and we've seen the Bruins, you know, do this in the past with other franchise type players, where, you know, maybe, you know, Pasta goes, you know, 8.5, maybe a little more than that. You know, and the other thing that you have to look at is who he's played with during his career in Boston. And the majority of his time with the Bruins, he's played with Bergeron and Marchand. You know, you're talking about, you know, two of the best players in the world. And that, you know, that perfection line, I mean, that's the reason why it got its name, was because they were pretty perfect, you know, as a line on the ice. So if you take away any of those parts, it's like, okay, what type of player is Pasta? We know he's an elite goal scorer, but there have been times where the Martian's been on a lineup, Bergeron's been on a lineup, And, you know, it's been a little different. Or if you play with Krejci, he had success with Krejci in the times that he played with him. But he's had a good complement of players around him that have helped him become who he's become. And, look, we all know he's talented, right? So I think if everything stays the way it is and they do bring back these guys that we're talking about and they look to sign Pasta, then, yeah, I could see it being in the, you know, 8.5, you know, maybe a little below 9. But I don't think it will go any higher than that. I don't think they're going to look at comparables around the league and say, look, this certainly the Players Association, you know, they want everything that Pasta can get. But as far as the Bruins go, I feel like that's the range that if they're able to sign up to a long-term contract, that's where it will be.
You see, that's where you and I differ, because I do think Pastrnak is that good. And I understand your point about him playing with the two best players in the world. I mean, that perfection line is the best line in hockey, this side of Colorado at least, when they're all going well. But Pastrnak's going to get that money from somebody if he goes to free agency. And the question is he willing to take the hometown discount for a team that's not going to have Bergeron and probably not Krejci, whether it be this season or after this season? I mean, he's going to make his money somewhere. He's in his mid-20s. I think he's going to make 9.5. And the reason I brought up 9.5, Joe, is because that's what Charlie McAvoy is making. And I think that's the new standard. Previously, the standard was, okay, what are Krejci, Bergeron, and Marchand making? We can't pay you any more than that. I think the new standard is McAvoy. So that's where I think the 9.5 comes into play. And I think he could get more elsewhere. If you're telling me the Bruins aren't going to go any more than 9, I don't think he's here next year.
Well, I think that could be, you're right, John. And it could be a starting point as well, just to say, okay, look, with these guys gone, the faces of the franchise moving forward, Charlie McAvoy, David Pastrnak, like these are the two guys that they now become the new, you know, Bergeron, Marchand, like these are the guys that the Bruins are going to want to focus on. And if Pastor decide, if he doesn't sign and the Bruins decide to move him at some point this season, the fan base is not going to be happy. But with McAvoy, you're right. I mean, he's worth every penny of that. We've seen him develop into one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League, and how he wasn't, you know, in the Norris mix is, you know, mind-boggling.
Yeah, he only finished fourth. I can't understand that at all.
You know, I could not believe that. You know, would Pasta take a hometown discount? I don't know. You know, he wants to win. He's had that success here in Boston. So, you know, we've seen those types of players where, well, you know what, I've done what I had to do here in Boston, and I'm going to go sign somewhere else, and I'm going to get my money and take care of myself for, you know, for the rest of my career. It's a good point. I really don't know, John. I really don't know which way he would lean. You know, there have been players in the past where I would say, you know what? Yeah, this player would take a hometown discount. I don't know if David will. I don't know if he would do that. But again, maybe if those pieces fall into place and, you know, Montgomery says, okay, well, we're going to make sure that you play with David Krejci, or yeah, it this is probably the most interesting offseason I can remember for the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, and then without a first-round pick, too. That's the funny part about all of this, yeah.
Right, exactly. I mean, they make a coaching change, which I was shocked by. Okay, they bring in Montgomery, which I was shocked by. You know, they have everything that we're talking about. They have so many questions and no answers, at least publicly. They don't have any answers yet. So this is going to be a very interesting summer, especially after the draft's over and then they get into free agency. Like, what are they going to do? They have me shaking my head a lot these days, so I just can't wait to see what the final plan is.
Well, besides the Bruins having you shaking your head, the Red Sox right now, you know, kind of went into only 3 out of the last 10 games. And I was listening to you, Joe. You were the conductor on the hype train for Brian Baio the other night. I was listening to you with Tony Mazz before his start. You're hyping him up, and I get it. I mean, look, he was doing great at AAA. But just your impressions of Brian Baio in his first start a couple nights ago, considering you're always watching this kid at AAA, just your overall impressions, and is there anything that you're concerned about? I mean, the changeup wasn't there. The slider that, you know, you were talking about didn't seem to be on. Just your impressions of him in his big league debut.
Yeah, Ted, the thing that really stands out to me with this kid is his confidence. And after that subpar performance in his debut, it was good to see that the Red Sox are saying, okay, we're going right back to you on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
This kid's confidence is so far off the charts. And as you know, I mean, that's a big intangible that you need to succeed at the top level of your sport. So I expect this kid to come out on Monday and really show Red Sox fans what I've seen in Worcester and other fans have seen in Portland this season. You know, he really has the skill set. He has the mental capacity to handle this. And I just chalk up the other night to nerves. You know, I mean, okay, this is it. And he's a smart kid, too, so he realizes the hype that's around him. And he can handle it. He really can. And I thought, I said to somebody after watching that first inning the other night when we had the game on up at Polo Park, I'm like, all right, watch. Okay, he struggled a little bit in that first inning, but he's going to come out and he's going to cruise. He did settle down a little bit, but again, I just chalk that up to the butterflies. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, Monday, guaranteeing that Monday, you're gonna see a different pitcher. Not a different pitcher. You're going to see the pitcher that Red Sox fans were hoping fans.
So you heard it here first. Shut down Brian Bale. And it's interesting. I know you know Joe Murray is a betting man.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So now
I
we're
just
taking.
Perked up. I perked up when I heard that.
We're taking Bale in the money at the Trop on Monday. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. You heard it here first.
There we go.
If you're wrong, I'll buy the beer.
All right. Well, I think you need to buy more than that. Joe's not spending $10 on this. I think
we're going light now. Maybe
in for a few more jelly beans than that.
Truly,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right. Last question, Joe. Obviously, you were there. You saw Chris Sale. You saw the tantrum and the destruction afterwards. I understand he paid for a new $1,100 flat screen. He paid like $6,000 for lunch and dinner for the entire organization, including the players. Your overall thoughts about Sale's day on Wednesday?
It was interesting, to say the least. I thought it went pretty smooth, just similar to what it did last year when he made a rehab start in Worcester.
We all still make that mistake.
Until around midnight when I saw that video, I was like, oh, boy, here we go. But other than that, I mean, Blue Sox manager Chad Tracy said the same thing. Like, this guy, as most rehabbers are, nothing but class. Like, he comes down, he takes care of these minor league guys, and he did. And the TV was already broken. You know, Ryan Fitzgerald, who's kind of a versatile utility guy, infield guy for the Blue Sox, he broke it on Father's Day after he struck out. He took a bat to it. So the thing was already smashed and just hanging there. And a maintenance guy at Polo Park made the joke like, hey, I was just able, it was stuck in the wall. I couldn't get it down. So I asked Chris, you know, if he could help me out. And he just came in and decided to rip it off the wall. But he did all those things that you said, John. And, you know, another thing is that he pulled out of Polo Park at, you know, after he was done. And there was a line full of fans sitting there at the players' parking lot. And he stopped. And, you know, he had to be there for, you know, 15, 20 minutes just signing everything that was there. And look, I'm not, you know, pumping this guy's tires at all. And, you know, I'm just reporting the facts is that this is what this guy did. And as far as the TV goes, you know, that's a private area. I mean, we all know, and I'm sure Ted does, is that, you know, guys behind closed doors, they lose their minds, you know, more often than not. And people just don't know it. He just happened to do it in an area where there was a door open to the clubhouse and a fan reached down and was able to record it. So, but overall, his stuff looked good. I mean, his command was a little bit of an issue, but, you know, the velocity was up. His ball was moving. And the fact that he did pull a nutty, I like it because that means he's competitive and he didn't want to pitch like crap down at AAA. And he says he's ready to go for Tuesday, you know, against the Rays. So it's going to be interesting to see how he throws the ball finally back in the big leagues on Tuesday.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. We've kept you more than your allotted time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, Joe McDonald from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette joined us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program, John Wallach, Ted Johnson, Joe Murray in. We'll go back to the Patriots, and we discuss defense and how that may or may not be able to help Mac Jones, despite the obvious holes they have there. We'll talk more Patriots with Ted. And coming up at 8 o'clock, Ted has an unhealthy obsession with a certain movie that I can't understand at all. We're going to discuss that with him at 8 o'clock, and maybe we're going to push Ted a little bit and see how well he knows this movie. We'll see. He's ready to go. He says he watches this movie more than any other. So all the secrets will be revealed at 8 o'clock. Joe Murray's headlines are next, and then more here on the Toucher and Rich program.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I wish you guys were my professors in college.
Brad, who are we if we cannot judge people?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Friday edition of Toucher and Rich. Sean Wallach, Ted Johnson, Joe Murray here till 10 o'clock. All of us, I think, are scheduled to be back on Monday. I know I'll be here Monday. I think Fred and Rich are both back on Monday
as Fred's
well.
Yeah, Fred's going to be back, yep.
So, yeah, I know Rich is down in Nantucket for the weekend. He did the last two shows from there. So hopefully we will be full Voltron on Monday. But Ted Johnson is here. We were discussing the Patriots and the offense and how Mac Jones can succeed or, in my mind, won't succeed because of the personnel around him. And Ted seems to think that this is a 9-8, 8-9 team, and I'm inclined to agree with him there after they went 10-7 this last season, and that's partially because of the deficiencies on offense and partially because the rest of the division and the rest of the AFC got much better around them.
That's true.
And so we didn't get a chance to talk about the defense. And by the way, coming up next hour, Bill Koch of the Providence Journal will get back into the Red Sox, and we have a small discussion with Ted about a movie coming up at 8 o'clock, which we will get to. But, Ted, the defense, which, of course, you are very familiar with, it seems that they have a massive hole here 2 weeks before training camp at linebacker. And much of the Patriots assistant coaches have gone out of their way to say, well, Josh Uche is going to play a major role on this defense now. And I don't know if they would have said that if they were able to keep some of the guys that they had. I think they're kind of forced into this. We still don't know who the number one cornerback's going to be, and Bill's been able to massage things and work magic with the secondary. You have an aging Devin McCourty back there as your quarterback, and I guess that's okay if what you do is play 15, 20 yards off the ball
at
every snap.
Free safety's okay.
Yeah, free safety's all right. I mean, he's basically a center fielder out there, but other than the defensive line, there are a lot of problems for this defense, and that does not lend a lot of support for a quarterback that needs it.
Yeah, so the biggest question mark is definitely a linebacker. I mean, clearly with Dante Hightower, I don't know if he hasn't officially retired. My feeling is they're going to move on. His contract expired. He hasn't been picked up. I don't think he's coming back. Kyle Van Noy, we know, I think he signed with the Chargers, so he's
oh, that, you missed all the social media phenomena surrounding? Yeah. I mean, there were lightning bolts in a video, and I'm going to San Diego, bolt up, baby!
Yeah, that's so Kyle's got to solve.
How do you feel about Kyle Van Noy? I don't think we've talked to you about him. Kyle Van Noy loves himself some Kyle Van Noy.
He played the I mean, let's face it, the guy, there's a bit You know, look, I mean, the guy is a lot of talk. He's never really impressed me. I've never really quite understood the okay. Kyle Van Noy
thing. That's basically the way all of us on the
but
show feel.
This guy at BYU was highly ranked. I mean, he was yeah. a, but he's yeah. a tweener.
That's a
real
long,
tweener.
Long time ago.
I know. And he failed when he was drafted. He was a second overall pick.
Yeah.
Pats brought him in. We could say what we want about him. He fit the system. They needed a guy that could rush the passer, but play on the outside. He's
yeah, yeah, no, he's just physically. There's nothing really impressive to me about it. Like he could, is he smart? He is, but I just don't think he's physically all that. He gets a lot of his sacks because he's kind of in the right place at the right time. He's not a great pass rusher. He's just a smart guy, and he's decent against the run on the edge.
Good product of this system, I know. In Miami,
Jimmy Collins, for example.
And both went to like he went to Cleveland too, and was okay. But yes, this system worked really well.
So what we're doing this year, the whole point is you got rid of, like, let's face it, those two guys, they were past their prime, long past their prime, in my opinion. So you were now it's and who did they bring in? Nobody. They didn't bring anybody. So who do they get? Well, they drafted so many guys to play the linebacker position that to this point have not worked out for whatever reason, injuries. They just didn't seem they were they feel like they were ready. So we're going to be expecting a lot of guys that you haven't seen, don't know much from, to step up and make plays.
Yeah, you're bringing in random linebackers from Cleveland.
I think Mac Wilson stinks. I'm on the record in saying
how do you have enough information to form an opinion?
Well, he played at Alabama. He had an interception in the national championship game.
Okay.
Was started a year in Cleveland. He stinks against the run. Mm-hmm. He is fast.
All right.
But the way I feel, and maybe to kind of get ahead of you here, they're going safeties at linebacker.
They'll play a ton of safeties. So we're talking about linebackers being a concern. It's not as the 2 and 3 linebacker sets are less and less with the Patriots. It's a lot of times they only have one linebacker out there, John. So it's really one middle linebacker. So we're worried about middle linebackers and they're out in linebackers. There's not going to be a lot of defenses where there's going to be a lot of linebackers. It's not like a 3-4 where there was 4 linebackers back in the day when I played. So Jawan Bentley is going to be kind of your first and second down middle linebacker. And then after that, I'm not sure who it's going to be, but they're big on Cameron McGrone. You talk about Mac Wilson, but Cameron McGrone, who was they drafted last year, who sat out all last year, was on IR. They're thinking that there's something there with that kid. Raekwon McMillan, before he got injured last year, they think.
So I like him.
You kind of like put all these names in a hat, and hopefully that one of those guys come out. That comes out.
That's exactly what they're doing.
The name I want is Jabril Peppers. That's the guy I want. Yep. I want Kyle Duggar and Jabril Peppers. I want those two guys. I want them in the box, and I want them covering and chasing
the
quarterback.
Well, unfortunately, they can't cover wide receivers. So
Peppers can.
You think Jabril Peppers can cover wide receivers?
Yes, absolutely.
He can.
Not ones and twos, though. Guys in the slot, correct?
Dude, right. This guy was one of the he had injuries was last year, and he played for the Giants.
I understand, you have Jabril Peppers and you have Jonathan Jones, two guys that excel in covering the slot. That's great, but perimeter-wise, real quick, perimeter-wise, because we're up against the clock here, but perimeter-wise, do they have guys that can cover burners? Tyreek Hill, for example, you're going to see twice this year.
Hell no. Jonathan Jones might be their best corner, and he's the slot corner.
Oh,
I mean, Jalen Mills is your starting. He's going to start on one side. So they're starting. I mean, Jonathan Jones and Jalen Mills are your starting cornerbacks, at least in the slot and on one side. Now, is it either Terrell Mitchell or is it Malcolm Butler? Those are the two names that are kind of that are up right in the air right now for that other starting spot. We don't know. Malcolm Butler, I know you were Malcolm Butler 2 years ago for the Tennessee Titans had one of his best years of his career. And then last year with the Arizona Cardinals, something happened and he left the team after the third week of the season, didn't come back and play. So we don't know where his head at, but he's come back and he is all in. If you listen to Malcolm Butler, shockingly, considering how he left here, it seems to be all in and is appreciative of the opportunity. And so you're going to probably get your best version of Malcolm Butler at this point. What does he have left in the tank? I don't know, but it's going to be the best he's got. We'll see, John. But big question mark opposite Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills is a starter on one side. We don't know who that other starter is going to be.
All right, so Ted Johnson, who is pretty much stuck the landing each of the last 2 years, thinks the Patriots are going to go 9-8 or 8-9. Am I mischaracterizing
this? Correct.
9-8 and 8-9.
I'll give you a firmer feeling on that later.
That's pretty good. I mean, you pretty much nailed the last 2 years, so that's where Ted's head is at. 2 weeks before training camp. 617-779-0985, Friday edition of Toucher and Rich. We have a discussion with Ted coming up after the break, and we have a headlines with Joe Murray. And then coming up next hour, we'll get back into the Red Sox with Bill Koch of the Providence Journal. Game one of an important four-game series with the Yankees last night. Red Sox lose. We'll go over it with Billy coming up next hour as well here on a Friday edition of the Toucher and Rich program.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.